Craving a real coffee? Get it sorted from your local OTR barista. Premium hot or iced coffee with dairy or plant-based milk at no extra charge. And every fifth coffee's free when you order in the OTR app. T's and C's apply. OTR. Making life easy.
You're listening to SBS News.
Christie's Auction House in New York has auctioned off 34 works, including digital art sold as unique items known as non-fungible tokens, and a self-painting robot that added to the canvas each time a new bid was made. All artworks were generated using artificial intelligence. It was the first ever AI art sale at a major auction house. Dr. Jasmine Pfefferkorn is a research fellow at the University of Melbourne. She believes AI may increasingly become a reality at galleries in the future.
If we put it in a historical context, I think it's something that will eventually become embraced. I often liken it to photography, which wasn't recognised as a legitimate art form for quite some time until it started to enter into museums and then into auction houses, etc. And I think we can see a similar, somewhat sped up trajectory for AI as well.
The sale, titled Augmented Intelligence, amassed over $1.1 million, despite six of the artworks not selling. It also accumulated over 6,500 signatures by artists calling to cancel the auction. In an open letter to the gallery, the letter said, "If you have any respect for human artists, you cancel the auction. Yours sincerely, the undersigned artist." For Sue Beyer, the distinction isn't so clear. As a multidisciplinary artist, she says developments in AI simultaneously fascinate and repel her.
I'm using a lot of different new media and also AI. The AI I really enjoy using because it's not perfect. And I like its weaknesses. I'm sort of treating it like an oracle, or not God, but I give the AI an instruction or prompt and it gives me information in return. And it's like a collaborative process.
Ms. Beyer is even using the technology to learn more about herself.
The way I've been using it is not really offensive or scary, or nothing like Black Mirror or Terminator or anything like that. I'm asking questions like, who am I and who is Sue Beyer? I'm sort of using irony because I'm looking at what it means to be human using something that obviously isn't human.
Last year, the Brisbane Portrait Prize announced it was changing its entry guidelines, stating it is impractical to have a blanket ban on the use of AI. Initially, it allowed entrants to submit artworks completely generated using image creation platforms like Midjourney or DALL-E. After receiving criticism by parts of the artistic community, organisers reconsidered its entry requirements to only allow works partly generated using AI. In the end, Dennis McCart's self-portrait using reprocessed AI images took home $10,000 for the digital award. Barunga Wiradjuri, a Wiradjuri man and founder of Barunga Gallery, won the competition's Packer Prize in 2021 for his portrait titled Night Rainbow. His First Nations gallery boycotted the prize last year for its guidelines on AI. He says he will not be entering the award again this year.
It was really unfortunate because I know that there's some very reasonable people within that organisation. I just can't say that I've got a great deal of respect for the decisions made. You know, it would have been very easy to go, oh, okay, we actually hadn't considered that. Doesn't even have to be called a real good point. That's a reasonable point. Why don't we just, you know, time out on this? Everybody would have gone, great decision. Brisbane Portrait Prize listens to blackfellas. Instead, they've got is we're pressing on regardless because we've got experts that say it's harmless. Like, I don't get it. I really don't.
Mr. Wiradjuri believes it's not the change he's opposed to. In fact, he says he's in favour of controversy and challenging messages.
I'm not about censoring and I'm not about that at all. I just feel as though at a minimum you should not do harm. And at the moment, I can see this doing harm. So there's this reckless notion that it's okay to harvest and reproduce First Nations artwork. The ramifications for that are next level cultural theft, it's appropriation, it's colonisation, it's disenfranchisement, it's diminishing, it's diluting, it's invisibling us again, another level of invisibling us. I mean, that all adds up to false representation.
Mr. Wiradjuri says cultural appropriation and stereotypical perceptions of First Nations art is a reality he still confronts. As part of his gallery's Cultural Creative Development Program, he provides professional exposure for emerging Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists. That means creating artworks for businesses' reconciliation action plans. Mr. Wiradjuri says he still gets asked for traditional dot painting art. It's a style derived from the central and western desert regions of Australia, but not Wiradjuri in New South Wales, where he is from. Dr. Louise Buckingham is the CEO of Arts Law Centre Australia, which provides specialised legal support to First Nations creators through its Artists in the Black service. She says with the rise of AI, cultural flattening and fake Indigenous art is rife.
We're well aware of how important the Indigenous art market is and also how extensive the market for fake souvenirs and fake art has been alongside of that and the damage that it does to our existing art market. You know, one set of stakeholders is benefiting to a greater extent than ever in the context and history of the technology boom, and one group is losing out to a greater extent than ever.
Adobe Stock, a graphic software that provides royalty-free photos and graphics, has faced scrutiny by the National Indigenous Times for its representations of First Nations art and culture. A search of Indigenous Australian brings up images of people with generic body markings or wearing Native American feather headdresses. People wearing business suits on the platform are, quote, representing workplace diversity. A search for Indigenous Australian art surfaces images of didgeridoos and boomerangs, AI rock and dot-style paintings. An extended license for each of these AI images costs nearly $90 on average. Under Australia's current legislation, copyright for artistic works generally lasts the lifetime of the creator plus 70 years. Dr. Buckingham says while this may seem like an extensive period, for First Nations communities whose art and culture moves across past, present and future, it can raise issues. In the case of AI-generated art, it gets more complex. In Australia, copyright law does not subsist or exist for artificial intelligence, as legally there is considered to be no human authorship or originality to protect. It also means that concerns over how AI models are being trained using artists' works are difficult to legislate.
The responses to things like the Christie's auction, which ended up achieving a lot more in sales than people had anticipated, but it also elicited a response from creators who were outraged at the notion of an auction for this kind of artwork. You know, there have been other responses around the world from creators of all descriptions, and in particular when we're talking about the visual arts, and we've got class action complaints by visual artists in the US that we'll be watching really closely here in Australia.
A working group on Indigenous cultural and intellectual property was established in December last year to protect First Nations knowledge amidst the rise of AI. Dr. Buckingham says consultation from the working group has already been paused until after the federal election. In the meantime, the University of Chicago has developed tools like Nightshade or Glaze, which are being used by artists to fight back against AI data scraping. These tools transform data from images into poison so that AI training on them without consent learn unpredictable behaviours. With this software, the university says a prompt that asks for an image of a cow flying in space might instead get an image of a handbag in space. Dr. Pfefferkorn from the Art, AI and Digital Ethics Centre believes while AI is new, artists have been balancing the relationship between ethics, technology and science for centuries.
But I'm really hopeful that the more we engage critically and with the different complexities that are being presented and already have been explored by artists in this space for such a long time, the more we'll be able to push back and just reclaim some of our own agency, because we'll be able to see that there are alternatives and other options.
Yasmin Al-Wakal, SBS News.
SBS
SBS's award-winning podcast, Fallout: Spies on Norfolk Island, has just been named one of Apple's best of 2025. See why, as journalist Richard Baker uncovers the truth behind an extraordinary international spy story. In 1985, Greenpeace's Rainbow Warrior was bombed in Auckland Harbour. Richard follows the trail from the Pacific to Paris to uncover what really happened. Listen to Fallout: Spies on Norfolk Island on the SBS Audio app or wherever you get your podcasts.